Billy Christmas by Mark A. Pritchard. December 13th. Through the snow, his footprints linked the ancient trees of Higginson Park. Pausing at each trunk, he pressed his palms against the cold bark, listening for clues, but heard nothing. He knew he would have to get closer to see what was happening. Looking around, he made his way down to the landing platform at the edge of the river. Across the lawns beside the cricket pavilion, he could see the Christmas tree stall brightly lit against the dark park. The stall was more crowded than he had hoped for, though less busy than either night before, and he didn't want to return empty-handed again. Pulling his scarf high over his ill-fitting coat, he began to cross the park. An old memory surfaced and steered him towards the bronze statue of Sir Stephen Redgrave. The knight looked out towards the river, blade in hand, ready for action, hoping it would still work. Billy Christmas slapped Sir Steve across the backside, wishing grimly for luck, before heading towards the stall. At nearly 6 feet tall and all shins and elbows, he was recognised at once. The assembled families hurriedly fell into silence as he reached the deep rows of Christmas trees. Feeling the weight of their thoughts and stares, he hunched his shoulders and looked for the owner of the stall. Mr. Shaw was a tree surgeon by trade and appeared to be built from oak himself, his body seasoned from a lifetime of working wood. When he saw why his customers had become silent, he threw them a displeased glance before turning back to Billy with a smile which was full of warmth. "Oh, Master Christmas, you after a tree?" "You know my name," said Billy. "Course I do," said Mr. Shaw, and then a bit more quietly. "Your mother's not here then, son?" "No, she's not. I can pay, though. I've saved up." "Your money's no good here, Master Christmas. You just take your pick." Whilst hating any hint of charity, Billy sensed it would be pointless to argue. He also knew the money he could now save would feed his mother and him for another week. He nodded his thanks to Mr. Shaw and headed towards the labyrinthine rows of Christmas trees. Walking into this impromptu forest, he drew in the scent of pine and began to relax. However hard it was to leave the house these days, he still delighted in the sights and smells of the outside world. Starlight danced off the dusting of snow on the tree branches. Billy thought that no decorations they had at home could exceed how nature had dressed these trees. Abrupt voices sent him scuttling underneath the nearest pine. It was definitely him. "For sure, attention-seeking little prat. He went down there." "What's he got planned for him then? What do you think?" Billy didn't need to look up to recognise the tones of Robert Locke, familiar from so many schoolyard taunts. While he couldn't be sure, he thought the other was probably Ollie Thatcher. He lay quite still until they moved on. A faint sound from somewhere behind him attracted his attention. He took a moment before moving, absorbing the new sound and allowing the unwelcome voices to fade away. It was music he heard now. The chords were faint but precise, reminding him of the miniature tuning forks Catherine carried in her canvas rucksack. Billy rose and spun into the path behind him, towards the music. To his delight, the source appeared to be a small Christmas tree. A gentle breeze was making the snowflakes spin off the branches, splitting light into colours and casting sound that reverberated against the other trees. As if responding to Billy's thoughts, the tree turned and seemed somehow to look at him and blinked when their gazes met. They paused, stock still, regarding each other. Without warning, the refracted light snapped off and Billy felt his jaw crack. The force knocked him flat, a flurry of long limbs in the snow. "Got you, you stupid little sod." The thumping pain from his jaw did not stop Billy wondering at Robert's poor choice of put-down. Billy was over a foot taller than his adversary. Not that height was an advantage in these circumstances. In fact, sometimes his height created these circumstances. Billy bounced back onto his feet just in time to see Robert's accomplice, Ollie Thatcher, appear, cutting Billy's odds of making it out of this unscathed. There was a noise behind him. Billy didn't turn, but was relieved to see disappointment cloud his opponent's faces. Robert looked straight at him, making sure his parting words hit home. "See you at school, Billy." Taking his time, he turned back and followed Ollie into the darkness. As they retreated, Billy wheeled around, coming face to face with himself, reflected in the blade of an enormous axe. The image was so clear he could see Robert and Ollie slinking away behind him.
"What toe rags?"
Mr. Shaw lowered the axe from Billy's face.
"I'm so sorry, son. I should have been here quicker."
"No, thanks. I'd have been in real trouble."
"Honestly, at this time of year too," said Mr. Shaw.
"I've seen you coming down the last few nights, not wanting to come in.
I'd put a tree aside and I was going to bring it over tonight. That's okay, said Billy. Mum isn't the best for visitors, especially now, at Christmas, I mean. Well, that's no surprise, said Mr. Shaw. And clearly hating himself for asking, he continued, there's still no word then. Billy's eyes fell. No word, no. Mr. Shaw exhaled, his huge lungs creating a cloud in the night sky. It was your dad who set me up with this stall in the first place, before you were even born. However well-intentioned, Billy found these stories hard to bear. Everybody had a memory they wanted to express, unaware what it did to him, what it had done to his mother. Mr. Shaw seemed to sense Billy's unease and changed the subject. So, did you find a tree you liked then, young Master Christmas?